One of the oldest friends that WAMC, and frankly that I have, is Mark Volpe. Having said that, he'll probably be mad at me because I'll have contaminated his reputation. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Alan, how are you?
Tanglewood's coming out with a super-duper season. I wanted to talk to you about it and ask you what the highlights were.
Well, we've decided to skip the winter. I know the ski industry probably will take some exception to that, but we're going right to summer. And I think the highlights are, you know, we had the challenge of post-75th anniversary, which was this past summer. What do you do? And so we've put together an array of concerts featuring some of the great conductors, some of the young up-and-coming conductors. An old friend of Tanglewood, Leonard Bernstein, is going to be heavily featured in our first performance of West Side Story, complete with the movie, with the dialogue and the singing, but they've been able to extract the soundtrack in terms of the orchestral part. So it's the Boston Symphony live, and of course all the stars of the West Side Story movie, and that we'll be doing on the second weekend. We have
that's
know,
wait
all,
wait wait that's think, a wow
that wait, is a wow if you see it, and I didn't quite believe it could work, and then I saw it in New York and it works. So they
so
you know
how
all
they
this
do
technology
it again?
They can actually extract the music, but not the, you know, I shouldn't say the music, the orchestral accompaniment to the singing and the score, and so you get this live, you know, raw energy on stage, and then the movie's going on, and of course the guy doing the sound has to mix it right so that you can, you know, the dialogue and all that, you know, it's a perfect vehicle for radio when you think of it.
Is it like movie night at Tanglewood?
No, it's actually, we're going to do movie night too with John Williams. And a friend of his, Audra McDonald, will be in part of that show. But no, this is different. This is West Side Story, the movie in its entirety, you know, with the Boston Symphony playing the orchestral soundtrack and the rest as you would remember from the movie.
Wow, you know? I'll be there. That'll be great.
I have to say, you got to see it. And again, you know, with Bernstein's, you know, the two entities that Bernstein is so closely identified with, Tanglewood and of course the New York Philharmonic. So it's for us, it's a great coup, and you know, we have all of our old friends coming back. I think it's a year, you know, beyond you know, Yo-Yo, who remains our house cellist and one of our great friends. But this is a year. If you like piano, you know, it's not just Manny Ax and Bronfman and Christoph Eschenbach and Leon Fleischer, but we have Lang Lang for the first time in years coming out. Tanglewood, Garrick Olson's joining us. Tiba Day is, of course, one of our regulars. Peter Serkin, who lives out in the Berkshires, will be on the stage. So it's a year full of great, great pianists. The Pops is playing five concerts. I think all the three concerts we did last year had attendance well over 10,000 each. And so we've added a Steve Martin. If you haven't seen Steve Martin,
he's a great banjo
great
player.
Musician.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah, with the banjo, but also it's you know, I don't want to say it's 50-50, but it's a lot of music and him playing his bluegrass stuff, but it's also him being Steve Martin. I mean, we did it in Boston and we had to have it at Tanglewood because it was I've never seen the orchestra laugh that hard in a concert. Tends not to happen when you're playing Mozart and Beethoven, but when you have Steve Martin on stage, you can't help yourself. And in fact, you know, the guys could barely play. They're, you know, he's so much fun. And
no, you know, I'm a banjo player. I've never been invited.
Yeah, well, you know, after your 15th or 16th movie, you know, it has to be a studio movie too. Then we'll talk about, you know.
Well, that sounds really wonderful. Have we decided who the new conductor is going to be?
Not yet. We're seeing a few more people in the winter, and the process continues. I'm in fact meeting with some of the players, talking about that later today. So
who decides?
There is a search committee of equal representation of the board and the players, and then Tony Fogg, my partner in crime as artistic minister, and I, and then that committee actually makes a recommendation. The way it works, I mean legally, not to get into, is the fiduciaries. The board of trustees of the Boston Symphony ultimately have to make the final decision. They're the ones, you know, responsible, you know, for the financial well-being and the artistic well-being of the orchestra, according to the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
So,
but it's a search committee that can make a recommendation, and I think the board would be hard pressed not to accept a recommendation from the search committee, which is, you know, stacked with a lot of very very accomplished people.
When somebody in the orchestra, let me just concentrate on this for 1 minute. When somebody in the orchestra, Mark Volpe, is helping to choose the conductor, do you think that the standards of that instrumentalist will be different than somebody who might be just an appreciator of art?
Yes, because what they have is the experience of actually working with these people. You know, what you see on stage in a two-hour concert has been in Boston had probably, you know, 9-10 hours of preparation, and Tanglewood probably 5 hours of preparation. And so they've seen him rehearse, they've seen him break things down. You know, it's like you know, they're as they say in football, there are guys who coach games well, but the guys who are frankly most successful in professional football, the guys who know how to coach, you know, and you know, all of the, you know, the scheming and all that goes on and during the practices that, you know, Belichick and others and the Patriots are involved in. And the same thing with the great conductor. The great conductor uses his prep time, and of course at the concert it's about releasing the music, having that kind of experience. The audience perspective, and there's several perspectives, you know, the audience perspective is, you know, from there, you know, is it working? I mean, is all that, sure, that rehearsal and all, has it amounted to something that is compelling, that is engaging, that is interesting? And then there's the other dimension, which is, you know, we're in a very challenging environment for not-for-profits. You know, God knows what's going to happen to tax policy in regards to your enterprise and my enterprise.
Well, let's talk about that for 1 second. That's very interesting. So if, in fact, deductions are eliminated
I don't think they're going to be eliminated.
Yeah. Or cap.
They're certainly going to.
Will that hurt you?
Sure. Uh-huh. Sure. I mean, I do a lot of fundraising. That's part of my job. Mm. And you know, for some people, they are absolutely inspired by the mission, by the cause, and there are others who maybe are inspired, but have, you know, I can't tell you, especially at this time of year, how many tax conversations I have, especially for big gifts. You know, if you're talking about gifts to you know, when you build things at Tanglewood or you know, replace things at Tanglewood,
sure,
you know, that you know, and whether you're talking about remainder trust or lead trust, and not to get into the vernacular of tax law, you know, but you know, if someone's talking about giving you part of their estate, that's a tax conversation as well as a donor conversation, you know, and we have many people, we're very, very fortunate, many people have us as part of their estate, especially out in the Berkshires, and so, you know, that those conversations, you know, which, you know, hopefully I'll, you know, I'm always of the philosophy, I'm talking about someone's estate, I hope not to be the one in the chair, because I hope they live for years and decades to come.
Sure.
That being said, that's not just a conversation about the cause or about, you know, we have to fix the main gate at Tanglewood, or we have to add more lighting to Tanglewood, or we have to whatever, you know, add more trees to Tanglewood as the storms knock them down. You know, that's a conversation that always involves, you know, especially, and they have, you know, some people are sophisticated, some people rely on their tax advisors, and typically if they change a tax code, that affects the conversation.
Let me go to a place that you were already at, Mark Volpe, but I wanted to go back to. You have what I would call, and you mentioned them in terms of the audience appreciation, what one might call populist events. I understand JT is not playing this year, but JT has been very generous over the years. He sells the place out. Steve Martin, you've just mentioned, going to be fabulous. And the movie night does very well. And now West Side Story is going to do very well. Maybe I'm wrong about this, and you'll correct me as you always do, but I don't see the critics there for those populist events and doing what they might be doing for a much lesser, more artsy crowd.
Well, I think, you know, the critics, I mean, AMC, and not that you're, you know, critical, but you know, the establishment of press in the Berkshires does cover, for the most part, our popular events. In Boston, it's a much different story. And in Boston, you know, we sense, you know, if we do something with new music or something that's eclectic that might have a modest audience, you know, all of a sudden that's the critics jump all over that. Whereas, as I suspect, you know, we have a run of 37 Holiday Pops concerts that are virtually all going to sell out, and they'll be, you know, I think the press that will cover it will be more the entertainment press and not the critical press.
I don't get that. I just don't get it. I mean, if it was a sporting event and everybody was going to it and it was the
right.
Jets versus the Pats or whatever, you would have everybody examining every aspect of the condition of the conductor or this and that. So I think that's a sort of holdover from the old days when people were allowed to be more snotty. No wonder newspapers are failing.
Well, I you know, it's interesting. On the so-called art music side, or the high-end art side, that the pervasiveness of elitism in today's newspapers actually continues.
Exactly.
Whereas in the pop music side, the movie side, you know, they all have their movie sections. So they're a little schizophrenic because on the pop side, you know, they got their pop reporters, and they, you know, movies now have almost all special sections and all of that. And when we tie into something like that, you know, if we do a movie score, you know, we've done, you know, not just Schindler's List, we did Mystic River. All of a sudden, that becomes a story. But it's not the music critics that cover it. It's the pop guys who cover it. So it's kind of an interesting. I don't want to call it schizophrenic, because you know in the sports and pop music world they're very very egalitarian. And then you know whether you're talking visual arts or you're talking performing arts on the critic side, the traditional side, it tends to be a little more elitist than you know. Yeah, I'm not going to criticize people who cover us, but that's the reality of the situation.
You know, Mark Volpe, you give us an opportunity every year, which I really covet. It's a wonderful time in which we get to talk to these conductors out of Tanglewood. We do a couple of days there, and there are some guys who are just like us. I'm always astounded by that. These are world-famous people. They go around to every major symphony. You know, they're soloists. But, you know, they're neurotic like we are. They're happy like we are. They're good people. Really, they just do it much better than anybody else.
Well, it's interesting you say that because part of, you know, the business we're in, I mean, we're in the relationship business, but we're also in the myth-making business. And anything where you're trying to sell tickets, you know, whether it be sports or movies or... At a certain point, you know, and it's a little bit of a double-edged sword because, as I share, and not to get into the search, you know, God hasn't applied for the job. I mean, whoever we hire is going to be mortal, and they're going to be, you know, unbelievably talented, absolutely committed to music, hopefully inspiring and all of those things, but they're still mortal. They're still going to have flaws. And you know, one person's flaw might be another person's, you know, whatever. You know, it's so subjective. And that's what makes this thing, you know, one of the great things about AMC is when you allow us to you know, instead of just a press release and this person's played in Berlin and Vienna and London and New York and Boston, you know, that they're human, you know, and they have, you know, some have kids, some don't have kids, some have interests beyond music and that might be of interest. Some are incredibly, as you've noted, clever. I mean, you know, there's a lot of humor in music, doesn't always come out, and you know, some humor are actually written into music. But it's great that you give us this you know, platform where you know some of these personalities, and I think that's something to learn, you know, from other parts of the entertainment world that you know personalities, you know, I don't want to get into personality cults, and it's a little too pervasive for my taste in today's society. But that being said, you know, so there are a lot of classical musicians who have great stories to tell, and I thank you for allowing us the opportunity to have them tell those.
Well, Mark Volpe, we love doing it, and I'm always surprised when we see Forrest Gump. You never know what chocolate you're going to get, whatever the quote was.
But you're going to bite into.
But I remember some of them who were not nearly as open as others. Not naming names, but you know, Charles Dutoit wasn't as easy. An interview, for example, of some of the newer guys, and you really don't know what that is. I remember we interviewed the famous flautist, or flutist, if you want, James Galway, and yeah, it was good, but there wasn't as much openness as you find with some of the others.
Well, recognize you're talking about people, and I'm not going to talk about particular
guys. No, of course
not. Those interviews,
no.
But. You know, I have to say, I mean, you are, you know, fair. You know, occasionally, you try to put us on the spot, and that's your job, and I admire that and appreciate that. But some of these guys have been burned. I mean, really burned. And not, you know, we're so domestically focused. Some of these guys have been burned. You know, it's so interesting when the Russians start coming over. And getting them to open up. Well, you know, especially when I'm talking, you know, even before the wall came down in '89. The Russians had to be incredibly guarded.
Yeah, sure.
They had their families back in the Soviet, you know, back when there was a Soviet bloc.
Yeah.
You know, and candidly, some of that paranoia continues. You know, they you know, there are other Russian artists who are incredibly gregarious and open. But you can understand, you know, given their life experience, why they would be a little more careful. And so some of these people coming from different parts of the world, you know, where you know, the press maybe managed by the government, maybe controlled by the government, maybe not. You know, maybe influenced by the government, as opposed to here, where for the most part the press, you know, keeps independent of you know. And so there are factors. You know, and the other thing, you know, they're mortal. I mean, you get a guy that has a huge argument with their kids or their wife, and then you know, 15 minutes later they're in front of a microphone. You know, it happens.
Exactly. Well, I want to tell you, Mark Volpe, you are such a joy to talk to. You're smart, and it's always fun to find out what you're thinking. I can't wait for Tanglewood.
Nor can I. I just soon skip January and February, but we'll get there soon enough.
I can't wait. I love the institution. I love being there. And you're so kind and generous to allow us to broadcast all the Tanglewood concerts on all of our stations now. And it's really been a great gift for all of us. Thank you so much, Mark Volpe.
Thank you for all you do, Alan. You take care.